Morning, 9:30. It's great to be back here with you again. For many friends who gave me a warm welcome coming on in, thank you for that. Really breaks the ice and helps an outlander like me be able to stand up here and not be too nervy. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Philip. I'm normally over at St. Jude's at Bowral. When I first came in amongst the group and I was looking around at who's here, I thought, beauty, all these teenagers are here and these children, going to be able to preach to the whole family group. And then half of them got up and shot through. They're gone. But anyway, as I see, there's still a fair diversity of people here, and it's great to be in the full family setting, even though we haven't got the small children here, but that's okay. And it's really good to see this church growing as I come in from time to time. Like I'm a bit of a blow-in, a bit of an outlander turn up now and then, and I get to see a snapshot of what's happening here at St. Stephen's. You guys get to see the movie, and for you, you don't notice the change, but for me, I see the development and I see the numbers, and I see what I see right at the moment, which is the engaging, vibrant eyes looking up here. So let's see how it can go. I wonder, have you ever been bored with the same old sermon? Have you ever said, I've heard this all before? Well, I've heard people say, I've heard this all before. And when I hear that, it puts up a red flag to me, because I'm old enough now to have seen that the people who say, oh, I'm bored with church, I'm bored with these same old readings, I've been hearing that since Sunday school. Well, very sadly, some of my mates who have been like that aren't in any church at all now. And you think, what's gone on there? What's happened with that? Well, we're continuing today with the old story through Matthew's series here at St. Stephen's. And I'm appreciative that Rob has given me the invitation to be back here. Thanks, Rob and Cass. It's a great honour to be here and be with you again next week. These are old verses. However, I'm going to suggest to you that what often happens with the Word of God most of the time is that if you take time to dig in it, even though it's an old verse, it's like peeling an onion. You will find another deeper layer. It's like mining in a jewel mine. The deeper you go, sometimes the greater the treasures that you find. They're familiar stories, but I'm going to say to you that these stories are full of spiritual significance. So let's ask the Holy Spirit to make these old Sunday school stories refreshingly new to us again today. Will you pray with me? Lord God, we thank you for Matthew's gospel. We thank you that he took the trouble to, as an eyewitness, write down the things that he heard Jesus say and that he saw Jesus do. Holy Spirit, make it alive in us today. Save us from the sin of saying that this is boring, and help us to see what we need to go out with today to make a difference in our lives and a difference in the world around us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The sermon today is about revelations. If you've got your blue sheet, you'll see that Kathy's put up on the top revelations. That's the one word for today, and listen for it, because that word will come through. But the topic of the service is dinner at Matthew's, fasting for Pharisees. That's what it's about, dinner at Matthew's, fasting for Pharisees. And there's two big questions that I want to raise with you today. First one, what does Matthew, the new disciple of Jesus, expect you What did Matthew experience, and what did Matthew see in the town of Capernaum, which turned his world upside down? So everyone understand what we're talking about here. We're talking about Matthew, who wrote the gospel, who actually got called by Jesus and was walking with him. We're talking 2,000 years ago in this town, by the seaside of the Sea of Galilee. I've seen it. I've been there. I've seen Capernaum. What experience did Matthew have in that place which turned his world completely upside down? What did he see and what did he hear? That's the first question. And the second question is, what does Matthew, the gospel writer, want you to hear and to see as you get to look at what Jesus is doing through reading his gospel, and as you get to hear what Jesus is saying as you read his gospel deeply? Well, I confess to you, there is a lot in it. There is a lot in Matthew's story. And so I warn you, the first half of the sermon is harder than the second half. And I'm going to ask you to engage with me as we look into it deeply and meditate on it and pick up the big picture of what's going on with Matthew. And once again, in your blue sheet, you'll see that Kathy's got the context of this starting from chapter 8, verse 1. What's been going on before we get up to chapter 9, starting at verse 9, which was read for us and which is our passage today? What's in Matthew's story? Well, Matthew's story tells us that Jesus Christ, has been very, very active in public ministry. He's been preaching. He's been responding to people both inside Israel and outside Israel, but the people he's responding to are the ones that have shown faith or dependence in him. He's been demonstrating his authority, and Jesus is demonstrating very clearly that he's got authority over nature, that he's got authority over demons. Yes, they're real. He's got authority over sickness. And Jesus has shown already that he's even got authority over death itself and sin. And now, coming up to this part of the gospel, and I know that you've been studying this in the past week because today is part of an ongoing series. But today, now, he reveals himself with authority. He's got authority to call sinners to repent and to turn and to follow him. And he's also got authority to override the rules of old religion. That's what he's going to show today. He's also revealing in today's passage that there is a time coming when God's authoritative servant is actually going to be taken away from the people that he's come to. And lastly, Jesus also reveals today that there is a new order which has come into the ancient nation of Israel. A new order has come in. And Jesus is going to show that this new order needs a complete new understanding of religion to be able to contain it, or the new order is going to blow the religion apart, like new wine would explode an old wineskin that was weak, or like a new patch which was unshrunk would rip away from the old shrunk garment if they were put together. This new understanding of religion is here, and through Jesus, God is bringing in, and at this point has brought in, a new age to his chosen people Israel. It's a new manifestation of the kingdom of God amongst men on earth. Something new is going on at this moment. Mm-hmm. Jesus says to the people back then and to us now, in order to be preserved, men and women have got to understand and depend on God's new revelation. You've got to be able to get past the Old Testament religion. Not that there was anything wrong with it. It was holy. It was from God, from Moses, from Mount Sinai. But it didn't work, though. You've got to get past that. You've got to get past that old religion into a new understanding. If you don't, Jesus says, you're going to be broken by it. You're going to be broken by it, by neglecting in it. And that's just the same in our world today. If we've got people in our world today who are still relying on whatever form of religion, even if it's the Jewish Old Testament law religion from God himself, if you're relying on any sort of religion, well, it's just not going to cut it, because it's not going to be able to fix your problems and it's not going to be able to get you to heaven. Indeed, says Jesus, or shows Jesus, God's long-awaited king has now come to Israel, and Jesus reveals his kingship within the kingdom of God. So Matthew, the tax collector, he was called by Jesus. What did he do? He had two choices. Jesus says, follow me. He can respond by either saying, yes, Lord, and submitting, and reaching out in faith and showing obedience, or he can jack up and he can say, no, I don't want that, and he would go along that pathway. Well, let's go straight to the text. And once again, if you've got your Bible with you, or even if you've got the blue sheet, which has got it there, either of them are going to be helpful, but it'll be good to have that open. And some of you might even be taking a few notes down in your space on the blue sheet there. That could be helpful. Briefly, in the context, you've already got that written out by Kathy up there. Jesus, if we go back to the first verse of chapter 8, chapter before, we find out that Jesus has just come down from the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, most of us have been around the Christian life for a fair while. You probably know what I'm talking about here. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then this is great that you're in church today and hearing this old story for the first time. I commend this to you. Read this and absorb it and take it in. But for those of us who have read this over and over and heard it in Sunday school and all the rest of it, pick it up and let's run with it. Jesus has come down from the Sermon on the Mount. He's been pretty active. He met up with a faithful leper. He chuffed off to Capernaum, where he found a faithful outsider from Israel, the centurion, who needed his help. Jesus found people who were demon-possessed. He found sick people. He hopped in a boat, crossed the lake, went over to the Gadarenes. He calmed the storm on the way. But over at the Gadarenes, he found two demon-possessed men, says Matthew. The town was so scared by what Jesus did with them that I asked him to leave. Please, Jesus, go back to where you came from. It's a bit too heavy for us over here. That wasn't the end of that story, though, but we're not talking about any more of that today. That's another story a bit later in the Gospel. Jesus comes back to where he came from, Capernaum. He meets the paralytic, and he says to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, which causes all sorts of ruckus and fuss. You know all about that. And that brings us up now to verse 9 in chapter 9, which is where we're starting today. So pick up in verse 9. It says, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. And Jesus says to Matthew, Matthew, follow me. Matthew responds with faith. In other words, he depended on Jesus and believed in him. And that faith was manifested in obedience because he left the tax collector's booth. Some of you have seen The Chosen. How many people have seen The Chosen and saw the episode where, those of you who haven't seen it, are we recommending that, Rob? I thought it was pretty good myself. Just got to be careful in this church if that's a... Anyway, we found The Chosen quite enlightening because it shows you sort of the context of what might be going on there. And it's very biblically accurate as well. So Matthew demonstrates his faith and his belief by obeying Jesus. And then Jesus says, well, I'm going to have dinner at your place tonight. Imagine being in his shoes. You've just left the tax collector's office where everyone hates you in your own country. And then Jesus says, I'm going to your place for dinner tonight. All right, so away we go. Well, Matthew invites all his mates, all his tax collector mates and the sinners, and they turn up there. Takes us down to verse 11. It looks like the Pharisees tag along as well, verse 11. And the question comes up with them. Hey, Jesus, you're eating with these sinners and tax collectors. What's that all about? And that's where Jesus says in verse 12 in our reading, I haven't come to call the righteous, but I came to call the sinners. And he refers the Pharisees back to the reading from Hosea 6, which we just read before. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Come up to verse 14, and John the Baptist disciples also get in on the act, and they say, well, Jesus, John taught us to fast, and we're fasting. Your disciples aren't fasting. What's that all about? And Jesus says, verse 15, where he's revealing that the Saviour is going to be taken from them sometime. He says, a time's going to come when the bridegroom is going to be taken away. When that happens, there's going to be fasting. But as it is at the moment, there shouldn't be fasting. There should be rejoicing because the bridegroom is with you. And then he gives, in the last couple of verses, 16 and 17, the talk about the unshrunk cloth on the old garments and the new wine in the old wineskins. But new wineskins are necessary for new wine so that both of them are preserved. So, friends, in this whole passage today, there's basically two things happening, isn't there? The first thing is that there's dinner at Matthew's place. That's the big thing that's happening. And the second thing is this whole question of fasting. And that's how we got our topic today for the sermon. The title for the sermon, it's dinner at Matthew's and it's fasting for Pharisees. Well, that was the hard part. Did you stay with me on that? If you got that all together, you're doing okay. There was a lot in it. And what's the point? Well, this is the easy part. The point is that Matthew experiences a really big revelation for himself. And he not only experiences this revelation of being called by Jesus, seeing what Jesus is doing, making a response to him, inviting his mates there, hearing what the Pharisees say and all the rest of it. It's not only a big revelation for him, but he decides he's going to share it with the gospel. And so he writes this down. And I'll tell you what the big revelation is. Matthew's big revelation, and if you're writing anything down today, this is the point. It's easy. This is not hard. The point of the big revelation that Matthew got is that religion cannot fix us up. That's what this is about. Matthew is telling us that religion cannot fix us up. Even if it's God's holy religion based on the holy law from the Old Testament, that's still not religious enough to fix us up, because the blood of goats and bulls cannot take away our sin. And that's what Matthew is letting us know. Matthew's revelation is the revelation that we should come away with today, that troubled people need God to give them a way to get back to him which does work. Not an old system of religion which doesn't work, or any other system of religion which people all over the world have made for centuries and millennia, of whatever they can do to find themselves to climb high enough to get back to God, just like climbing up the Tower of Babel. It can't work and it doesn't work. Matthew says to us, simple, only Jesus can get us back into the kingdom of God. Only Jesus can get us into heaven. That's what I'd be writing down in my notes if you were writing notes today. You see, this is new wine, and it needs the revelation of a new wineskin to be able to hold it and to contain it. The bridegroom is in town. There's no need for fasting. This is a time to celebrate. And when you get called by this bridegroom, when you get called by this Saviour, Jesus, then the right response is faith. The right response is not fasting. The right response is faith. Did you get that one? Faith, not fasting. Faith, not religion. And that's it, folks. That's the sermon. So how do we wrap this up and apply it? What should we go out with today for tomorrow and next week before we come into church to look at the next episode of Matthew's gospel. What do we go out with this week? Well, let me go back to the two questions I asked you. Have you actually seen what Matthew wants you to see today? Do you think you've picked it up? He's got you to look at what Jesus is doing. He's got you to hear what Jesus is saying. Have you heard it, and have you seen it? Well, Matthew heard it in his tax collector's booth, and he saw it. What did he do with it? Well, he acted on it. Have you understood that God did something new with religion when Jesus came along? Jesus turns up on the scene, and a whole new world of religion comes into play. Didn't take God by surprise. This was all part of God's plan from the very beginning, from the Garden of Eden. God knew what was going to happen. But if you understood that and picked it up, tell me, has your upside down world, and do you feel these days that you're living in a world which is a bit topsy-turvy, a bit upside down? Yeah, I could tell you stories, but I haven't got time. It's an upside down world. Tell me, has your upside down world been turned right side up? Because like Matthew, you could act on what's been revealed to you about Jesus. You see, Matthew saw Jesus as the king in God's kingdom. He got it. It went through. And that's what this whole sermon series is about for you. It's that Jesus is the king in God's kingdom. So do you have the personal faith that Matthew clearly picked up when he changed from sitting in his tax collector's booth to going out on the road with Jesus, listening to what Jesus said, obeying what Jesus said, and doing what Jesus asked him to do? I'm going to finish off with a prayer. Now, this prayer would be the sort of prayer that someone who has not come to that place of change would pray. And if you did that, it would like this would be the opportunity to actually become a Christian if you prayed this. But if, like me, many of you have been walking this pathway for decades, and you know all this stuff, and you know clearly you already are a Christian, this would still be a great daily prayer, wouldn't it, of recommitment. I wonder if you'd like to bow your head and pray with me. I'll go really slow so you can pick this up. Does this come from your heart? Dear God, I thank you that you revealed Jesus to Matthew, the Jewish tax collector, and now you've revealed Jesus to me a little bit more as well. I thank you, Lord, that since Jesus is alive, I don't need religion to be brought back into your kingdom. Heavenly Father, I want to trust Jesus as my Saviour, and I want to obey him as my King. So, Lord, through your work of the Holy Spirit, make me a true Christian and turn my world back the right side up, because I ask that grace in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.